Thank you, Dr. Patton. I would like to thank all of you for being here this afternoon. Today I am going to present some research out of K-State on control of silvery thread moss with alternative chemical control products. I'll start off today with a little bit of background on moss and then go into some previous control strategies and then follow with our experimental design and finally the results we saw from our study. So for background, mosses are in the phylum Bryophyta along with liverworts and hornworts. The bryophytes are a non-vascular group of plants that lack internal vascular systems. Mosses specifically lack true roots, and instead they have rhizoids, which serve as an anchoring mechanism for the plant. Silvery thread moss specifically is the most common moss found on putting greens, though other species do occur. So here are a few pictures of silvery thread moss. Silvery thread moss is a short, dioecious moss that absorbs water and minerals throughout its entire body. It's competitive in putting greens because it tolerates ultra-low mowing heights and extended periods of drought. In terms of previous control, fungicides and herbicides have been popular, mainly contact fungicides like chlorothalonil and mancozeb. And in terms of herbicides, carfentrazone ethyl, or quicksilver, is a broadleaf herbicide that interrupts chlorophyll synthesis and has really become the industry standard for a moss control product. Alternative products have been tested with really mixed results. Anything from dishwashing soap or baking soda, even lime, an assortment of sulfates and silver nitrate have all been tested. Some previous research at Kansas State University and at the Chicago District Golf Association demonstrated the ability of baking soda to reduce moss populations at a similar level as quicksilver. In this study, baking soda was applied as a spot spray application at 45 grams of active ingredient per liter. And though it did reduce moss populations similarly to quicksilver, phytotoxicity to creeping bentgrass was observed. For this reason, we decided in our study to try to examine some different rates of spot spray applications to maybe reduce the phytotoxic effects of the treatment while seeing similar moss control. Also, spot spray applications are very labor intensive, and for that reason, we decided to include a few broadcast sprays to help reduce that. So, officially, the objectives of our study were to determine the effectiveness of alternative and traditional chemical controls for silvery thread moss and their effect or lack thereof on creeping bentgrass quality. We had 12 treatments in our study. The first four are sodium bicarbonate treatments or baking soda. We included the original rate from the previous study at Kansas State and CDGA of 45 grams of active ingredient per liter, and we also halved that rate in hopes of seeing similar moss control with reduced phytotoxicity to creeping bentgrass. We also included two broadcast sprays of sodium bicarbonate. Next we have potassium bicarbonate, or Armacarb, which is a broad spectrum fungicide, a broad spectrum contact fungicide that is used on an assortment of crops. We included the same concentrations of spot spray application as with baking soda, and we also included three broadcast treatments, the lowest of which being the label specifications for an Armacarb application to creeping bentgrass. We included Mossbuster, which is a desiccant that is 1% essential oil and is a ready-to-use product. We did not dilute it in any way, and it was applied as a spot spray. We also included Quicksilver at the label rates and specifications. The study was conducted through a two-year period in Manhattan, Kansas at Rocky Ford Turfgrass Research Station. In 2009, we conducted the study on a green constructed to USGA specifications on Penlinx creeping bentgrass, and in 2010, on a push-up green on Pencross creeping bentgrass. There was a natural infestation of silvery thread moss in both sites both years, and the plots were set up in a randomized complete block design having four replications. We applied our 12 treatments in the spring and fall of 2009 and 2010. We applied four treatments each year, two 2 weeks apart in the spring and two subsequent applications 2 weeks apart in the fall. Excuse me. Spot spray treatments were applied using a handheld trigger spray bottle. The solution was premixed and then poured into the trigger spray bottle, and the solution was applied to moss colonies until they were visibly wet. For broadcast applications, we used a CO2-powered backpack sprayer with a two-nozzle boom. So on to data collection and analysis, We collected moss severity data as a visual estimate of the percent of silver thread moss in each plot every other week throughout the growing season. Because we use a natural infestation of silver thread moss, it just so happened that the levels of moss in each plot were significantly different on the first rating date in both years. For this reason, we scaled the data by setting the first rating date equal to 100 and then scaled the subsequent rating dates accordingly. However, the data was not uniformly distributed, and so the raw data was subjected to a log transformation to normalize the data. We also used an area under the curve analysis to get a season-long look at silver thread moss severity. Additionally, we collected data on creeping bentgrass quality. We used a 1-9 scale, 1 being completely brown, 6 minimum acceptable quality, and 9 would be optimum green color or no phytotoxicity. We collected the creeping bentgrass quality at 1 and 7 days after treatment, and also every other week throughout the growing season. So now we'll go ahead and get into the results. And in this figure, we have the effects of our 12 treatments on moss severity in 2009. You will see that moss severity is on the y-axis, and our significant rating dates in 2009 are on the x-axis. You'll recall that we did collect data every other week throughout the growing season. However, only the first rating date and significant rating dates are displayed. Also, you will note that we had 12 treatments in our study, and only 5 are included in all of the figures in this presentation. We included the untreated control for comparison, as well as our 4 treatments that significantly reduced moss severity in 2009. Those treatments being Quicksilver, a spot spray of Moss Buster, and spot sprays of sodium and potassium bicarbonate at 45 grams of active ingredient per liter. Recall that the treatments all began with a vet moss severity value of 100 on the first rating date. And you'll see that in general, these 4 treatments had lower moss severity values than did untreated in 2009. More specifically, you'll notice that on one date, Moss Buster had significantly less moss than any other treatment. And on 2 dates in 2009, Quicksilver was not different from untreated in moss severity. For the area under the curve analysis in 2009, on the y-axis, we have the area under the curve, which is the season-long look at moss severity. And this time on the x-axis, we have our 5 treatments, which are the same 5 treatments in the previous figure, our untreated control, and the 4 treatments that significantly reduced moss compared to untreated in 2009. As you can see, the 4 treatments had significantly lower moss levels throughout the season in 2009 and were not different from each other. In 2010, however, no treatment was different from untreated, and the area under the curve analysis was not significant. One possible explanation for this involves the levels of moss severity in research plots. Just due to the randomization process, untreated plots had very low levels of moss that then declined through the hot summer of 2010, and no treatment was able to match the natural decline in untreated plots. So now we'll get into bentgrass quality and the effects of the treatments on bentgrass quality. Here first, we have an example of an untreated plot 1 day after application in 2009. You'll see that there is no phytotoxicity to creeping bentgrass. Similarly, down here, we have a Quicksilver plot, and you can see that 1 day after application, Quicksilver was already beginning to discolor the moss colonies with little to no phytotoxicity to creeping bentgrass. On the other hand, here we have an example of a Moss Buster plot where these reddish-brown areas are actually the moss colonies, and as you can see, the application is damaging the moss colony. And surrounding the colonies then is the straw-colored creeping bentgrass, which is an example of the phytotoxicity we experience with Mossbuster. With potassium bicarbonate, we experienced a similar type of phytotoxicity, an oranging or browning of moss with phytotoxicity along the perimeters or the fringes of the moss colonies. Now, if we look a little closer, we can see here that this is a Mossbuster application. And again, the moss is discolored, and you can see that the grass surrounding, or the turf surrounding the colony, as well as within, has been damaged by the application. Similarly, potassium bicarbonate tended to observe tip burn of turf. So the effects of these treatments on creeping bentgrass quality in 2009 and 2010, the blue bars here represent 2009 and the maroon bars are 2010. We have quality on the y-axis, 1 to 9 scale, 6 being minimum acceptable. And you should note that this is the season-long mean, not just one rating date. Also, we have both capital and lowercase letters. The capital letters are for 2009, and the lowercase letters, show significance levels in 2010. We have the same 5 treatments along the x-axis. And you can see that in both years, Quicksilver was not different from untreated, while the 3 spot spray applications that significantly reduced moss in 2009 were more phytotoxic than Quicksilver untreated, Mossbuster generally being the most phytotoxic. A little more information here. These braces show an estimation of the range of values we observed in bentgrass quality in both years. Treatments that were more harmful to creeping bentgrass had a larger range of values, anywhere from a value of 2 or 3 a day after application, all the way up to a 9 in the middle of the season when there was no application. So then we took that data and kind of estimated days to acceptable quality. Recall that we collected creeping bentgrass quality data 1 and 7 days after treatment and also biweekly throughout the season. You can see that Quicksilver was not different from untreated and required no recovery period. On the other hand, Mossbuster and our spot sprays of sodium and potassium bicarbonate required a substantially longer period to recover. Mossbuster having generally the longest of up to 18 days. So in conclusion, no treatment completely eliminated moss in this study. And though I did not display any data for our broadcast sprays of sodium and potassium bicarbonate, they were not effective at reducing moss populations. Only Quicksilver and our spot sprays of sodium and potassium bicarbonate at 45 grams of active ingredient per liter and Mossbuster reduced moss severity compared to untreated. Furthermore, bentgrass quality, Quicksilver was not different from untreated, and only the effective spot sprays were significantly more phytotoxic to creeping bentgrass. In terms of days of acceptable quality, Quicksilver did not require a recovery period, whereas the 3 effective spot sprays varied in recovery period. I would like to thank the Kansas Turfgrass Foundation for partially funding this research. I would also like to thank my advisors, Drs. Jack Fry and Megan Canelli. And additionally, I would like to thank the entire Kansas State University Turfgrass Research Team for their help with plot maintenance and data analysis. So thank you, and I'll field any questions at this time.
We have time for one question.
Yeah.
What was your spray volume?
Say that again.
What was your spray volume?
Our spray volume? For the broadcast sprays, we used usually 6 gallons of water per 1,000 square feet. However, with potassium bicarbonate and Quicksilver, the label calls for a lower water volume of 2.5 or 2 gallons per 1,000 square feet, respectively.
Okay. Thanks, Cole.
Thank you.